Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee with a spirit of reverence, Lord, where we would consider thy word and where we would read from it and meditate thereupon. Father, we just pray thee that thy word would touch our hearts and that we would recognize just how good thou art toward us, how much thou dost love us, and how much thou dost care for us and watch over us. We just would lean upon thee and give our all unto thee, Lord, knowing that we are safe with thee and that we can rejoice in being in within thy refuge. So bless us one and all as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the basis of our meditation this evening, let's read from John's Gospel, chapter number 10, the first 30 verses. Gospel of John, chapter number 10.
Let me remind you that we are one of the best people.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad, why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I and my My Father, which hath given me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." It's a blessing when we can be in God's house and have his word before us and be reminded of the truths of who he is and his goodness that he has toward us and the faithfulness of his teachings and all the blessings that accrue to us because of who he is and all that he has done for us. And I know that sometimes we go through our schedule of church services, and it's sometimes perhaps more of a routine, but perhaps this evening we can just simply focus on what God would speak to us and his, what his Spirit would fill us with and what his desire is for us, that it might be a blessing and that it would not be simply just a routine that we follow and we go about our way. So may God bless these words that would be shared, and appreciate the prayers that have been uttered, that God's Spirit would be here as we consider his message. Jesus here again is teaching, and he's teaching in parables, and he's teaching the people. He had a ministry that was rather short. It wasn't long life of a ministry as some of the prophets in the Old Testament had. When I think of Samuel, who from an early age began his service in the Lord, and he was dedicated to the Lord, and he filled a whole lifetime of doing the will of God. And certainly Jesus did the will of God, but his ministry was short of itself. And so he's speaking here to the people, and he's bringing forth the words of life. And he brings forth this parable to the people that he is the chief shepherd. And this parable is more of a testimony or evidence that he is so powerful, and he can do so much. And really, that's what this parable and this teaching is about, of who Jesus is. Yes, the sheep play a part in that, but really it's speaking to the greatness of this shepherd, this chief shepherd that we have. And so he brings to them this parable, and he speaks to them of a sheepfold, and there's thieves and there's robbers that are coming in some other way, but he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And he's speaking to them of things that they would relate to. And he says that the sheep hear his voice, the good shepherd, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Oftentimes there would be multiple flocks of sheep that were within one pasture or one pen, and a shepherd could speak in his voice to his sheep, and his sheep would recognize that voice, and they would separate themselves from the other sheep and come and follow that shepherd because they had a familiarity one with another. And so that's what he's saying here, that he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep are following him. They want to go out to pasture. They want to go out. And they're willing to follow that voice because they know that voice. And Jesus continues on and says, "But a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And so he's brought forth this parable, and when he was done with this parable, it says they understood not the things which he spake unto them. They didn't understand what's behind that story. We understand the story of itself, but what does it mean? So he said again unto them, and now he's explaining it, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So he's relating himself in two aspects in this parable, one that he is the door and one that he is the good shepherd. So he's saying here, "I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Those that were true to God, those that loved God, they didn't hear the voice of the thieves and the robbers, those false prophets that would come. Those that were truly God's, they listened. They didn't listen to these thieves and robbers. They only listened to he that came forth in truth from God. Then he says here in verse number 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here he's giving more detail, more revelation as to what this parable is about. He's saying, by me, by Jesus Christ, by me, if any man enter in through this door, of which he is the portal of, he says, he shall be saved. Only through Jesus Christ can we be saved. Now, I recognize that for everyone here, that's not an issue. We understand that to be true. We don't doubt that. We don't challenge that, that by Jesus Christ we are saved. There are others in this world who don't believe in Jesus Christ, and they would challenge that. But here we don't challenge that. We know that to be true, that by Jesus Christ, by me, we shall be saved. No other way can we be saved. Later in this gospel, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only Savior. There is no other Savior. It is only through Jesus Christ, only through this Good Shepherd, that we can have eternal life. It is only through him that we can be saved, as he says here in verse number 9. It is by him, by Jesus, where he says, by me, we shall be saved. Earlier, he's speaking to his disciples at large, not the 12 apostles, but he's speaking to his disciples at large. And they had just been fed, and they appreciated the miracle of being fed by the fish and the loaves of bread. And then so he speaks to them, and he says, he's teaching them, and he's saying, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood and dwelleth in me, and I in him. And he kept reiterating this. You need to eat of me and partake of my blood, and you'll be in me, and I will be in you. And they didn't understand this. They weren't comprehending this. He's like, they were like, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And so Jesus says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus is teaching them, what I'm saying to you, the voice that I'm bringing forth, that you're familiar with if you're obeying, they're what are spirit and that bring life. The flesh profiteth nothing. You can eat a meal that's good and it sustains you for a little bit, and then afterward you're hungry again. But he's saying, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They had been fed. They liked that miracle. And Jesus says, labor not for that which perisheth. And so they were offended in him. And the Bible says here that they began to turn away, these disciples. The multitude that were fed, that heard the teachings of Jesus Christ, they were offended at what Jesus had to say, and so they started to turn around, and they all left. They all left. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That was it. They were done. They didn't understand the teachings. They didn't like the teachings. They liked to be fed, but they didn't understand the teachings, and it just didn't go with them. And so Jesus turns to the 12, and he says, will ye go away? And Simon Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He's the only Savior. They recognize that by him they can be saved. So Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was sure of that, and he was stating that. He was confessing that truth, he was sure that Jesus was the anointed one, that he was the Son of God. And so again, we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but by him. We know that to be true. We don't doubt that, but there are many in this world that do. But Jesus here is teaching the people, and he's telling them, by me ye shall be saved. Then he says, the thief, which in this case is the devil, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the objective of Satan. He has no other objective. That's his objective. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. Because God built up. Because God ordained. Because God created. And so he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. To have an abundant life. Satan wants to kill, but Jesus wants to give abundant life. There's the great difference. The great difference. And those that would obey Jesus, those that would love Jesus, would hear his voice and would recognize the life that he gives, the abundant life that can be had through Jesus Christ, through faith in him. And so he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. This is who Jesus is. Again, this parable and this teaching here is more about how the powerfulness of Jesus and who he is, his greatness. And this is who we come to worship. This is who we come to adore. Oftentimes we come to church to be challenged in our faith, in our obedience, in our submission to him. But sometimes we simply want to come to church and just hear how great God is, how powerful he is, how much he loves us, how faithful and true his promises are. And that's what we're reading tonight. How great and true Jesus Christ is, the chief shepherd, and how powerful he is. And so he says, I'm that good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So thankful we are for that promise. So thankful we are for that truth. He's the good shepherd, and he gives his life for the sheep. I don't believe it's going to be possible that on this side of the grave, we will ever fully understand just how much Jesus loved us and how great he is toward us, his great love is toward us, in that he gave his life for us, his sheep. I don't think we can fully comprehend it and grasp the greatness of that. Praise be to the good Lord for what he has done for us. He gives his life for the sheep. We go to that very familiar psalm that King David wrote, Psalm 23, and we'll read of the shepherd and what he has done for his sheep. This is Jesus Christ. This is what he has done for us. This is a testament as to the evidence of the powerfulness and the love that Jesus has toward us, and we relish in that. David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Old English here, if we just think of it, it says, I shall not want. Well, certainly I want that. But what that really means is that I shall not have a need. All my needs are going to be met when the Lord is my shepherd. He will care for us. That's what a good shepherd does. He protects. He provides. He leads. This is what the good shepherd does. And so we shall have no need. The Lord is my shepherd. I will have no needs. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He does that. He makes us to lie down in a pasture that's full of nutrients, of food for them. And a sheep will not lay down unless it feels safe and protected. Unless it feels secure, it will not lay down. But here King David is saying that he maketh me to lie down. He makes me to feel so safe, he makes me to feel so secure that I can be at ease. I can lie down in this green pasture. He leadeth me beside still waters. This is what Christ Jesus does for us. He makes us to, he leads us beside still waters, waters that a sheep will drink from. A sheep will not drink from running waters like a river or a creek, but it will drink from still waters. And so that's where the good shepherd leads us to, is to still waters. Jesus provides for us. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Because the chief shepherd is with us. We are in the palm of his hand. We know him. We hear his voice. We have that relationship with us, and we are safe and secure knowing that he loves us so. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. All these things, this is a testament again of what Jesus is doing for us. Not so much about the sheep and our helpless estate, but what Jesus does for us. Thou preparest a table for me before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Blessings that are accrue to us as his sheep that abide in his fold. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus has been faithful. Jesus has been good to us, and we recognize that. But yet, again, perhaps not in fullness, because we will not be able to fully understand just how much God loved us in sending us his only begotten Son and allowing him to be that good shepherd for us and giving his life for the sheep. The next two verses talk about a hireling. A hireling is someone who is just simply hired to do that task. A hired person would go and watch over these sheep, and this hired person is just simply hoping that, well, I hope all things just go well and there's no issues and I can just be here and make sure nothing happens with these sheep, and as soon as my time is up, I'm going to go off and do my own thing that I really like to do and enjoy. And so the story here is Jesus is saying is that, well, when something evil comes, like this wolf comes, that the hireling flees. He didn't go in. He wasn't in this to risk his life. It was simply a transaction. He was going to watch the sheep for a time, and then when he was done watching the sheep, he would get paid for that. But he wasn't up for risking his life. And that's how it is with any other man besides Jesus Christ. They don't have a vested interest in our soul salvation. All men seek their own, the Bible says, and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. At some point, some men are going to care about their own selves and not about other men's souls. But Jesus came to give his life for his sheep that we might be saved, that our souls might be saved, that we might come to this knowledge of this truth. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In the first parable, he's speaking and saying that I call out the sheep's name and they hear my voice and they follow me. And here he's saying, I know my sheep and am known of mine. There's a relationship there. They know each other, the sheep and the shepherd. There's a history there. There's a relationship. There's been a building up of time spent together. And I'm just reminded of that in the Psalms. That it's so beautiful that God says that he telleth the number of the stars, and he calls them all by their names. Billions and billions of galaxies, stars beyond what we can't even imagine. And God says, oh, I know the number of them, and I even call them each by their name. And this is the relationship that he has with us, too. I know my sheep and am known of mine. It's a beautiful thing of what Jesus Christ wants to this relationship that he wants to have with us in caring for us, in making us to lie down and feel safe and secure in him. The Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So he's speaking here now that the Gentiles are going to come in as well. The Gentiles are going to be a part of this life, everlasting life that he gives. So he's saying, these other sheep I have, and I'm going to bring them into my fold. Earlier in this gospel, Jesus Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. If we have a relationship with the Lord, we will hear his voice, and though we be dead, we will live. Further there, it says that they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. But all which are in the grave shall hear his voice. The voice of Jesus goes forth. All that are in the graves will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. They that have done good, those that were part of the sheepfold, will be separated on his right-hand side and will obtain everlasting life. And those that have done evil, they will hear his voice, but they will be separated as goats, and they will be everlasting damnation. There is one fold. Jesus Christ says that, and then we read in Galatians that there is one fold. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Jew, Gentile, whatever it be. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are part of one shepherd and one fold. There is no other shepherd. There is no other fold. Jesus Christ says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd, none beside. So Jesus continues to tell the people, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. Pilate didn't take it from him. The Roman soldiers didn't take his life from him. The Sanhedrin didn't take his life from him. He laid it down of himself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Jesus Christ did this. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. We are blessed. Blessed in abundant measure. Words cannot explain how blessed we are because Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, his sheep. And so there was a division among the Jews, therefore, of these sayings. And that division happened here, and that division happened throughout time since, and it's even happening today. There's a division of those that would hear the message, the voice of Jesus Christ, and accept it, and those that would reject it. Many said, he has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? He's psychotic. Why are you listening to him? He doesn't know what he's saying. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? Can these miracles happen? Just in the previous chapter, there was that man that was born blind. And Jesus anointed his eyes and he saw. And so they're saying, that happened. No one can deny that. That happened. That never happened before. That man said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Jesus did these things. And so some of the people are saying, he can't be mad. He can't be psychotic. He's opened the eyes of one that was blind. He's done good. He was a blessing to others. And so a little bit later, it says that Jews came around about him. And they said, okay, can you just stop talking these parables? Can you just tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Are you the anointed one? Are you Emmanuel? Are you the one that is truly sent from God? Just tell us plainly. We don't want to hear these parables anymore. Just tell us plainly. Are you the Christ? And Jesus said, I told you, and you believe not. If we flip back to chapter 8, we read that Jesus said to them, he said, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. I didn't come from Mary and Joseph. I came from God. So he told them plainly, I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Nazareth isn't my hometown. Heaven is my home. So he's telling them, I told you plainly, and I'm telling you again now, I and my Father are one. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe me not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is a relationship there, he's saying. The man that was born blind, he has a relationship with Jesus. Zacchaeus had a relationship with Jesus. Mary Magdalene had a relationship with Jesus. They were part of the sheepfold. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Again, The beautiful thing of just simply coming to church and hearing that Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. That's why he came. He laid down his life for his sheep. The sheep follow him. Why? Because he gives unto them eternal life. So thankful we are to be a part of the sheepfold. And they shall never perish. They shall never perish. That's a promise from God. That's a promise that Jesus Christ has here for us. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, says Jesus. Then the next verse says the same thing. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're not able to be taken by man out of Jesus' hand. No man can do that. No man is powerful enough to take us away from Jesus' hand. We're in the palm of his hand. He loves us and he cares for us. He protects us. He provides for us as the good shepherd does. And then he says, my Father is greater than all, and we are in the palm of his hand, and no one can take us out of his hand. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. We read that in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what man would like to do with us. They would like to account us as sheep for the slaughter. We're going to the slaughterhouse is what the enemy of our soul wants to do with us. He wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to take us to the slaughterhouse. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, not of our own strength, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us. Nothing shall take us away from out of the hand of Jesus Christ. No man can take us and pluck us out of the hand of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so Jesus gives an invitation, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, the voice of the chief shepherd, and open the door of their heart, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he will lead me, and he will be with me. Jesus wants us to hear his voice and to know that he loves us, to know that and to have that confidence that he laid down his life for us. He keeps us in the palm of his hands. He protects us. He provides for us. He loves us far more than we can imagine. He is the only way to the Father. There is no other truth. Let us hear the voice of Jesus Christ and let him lead us to his heavenly home. Amen.
We've learned again of the true shepherd. The word teaches that the truth of God is a buckler. It's a strong support that upholds and helps and undergirds those who walk uprightly. At this time when Jesus was speaking these words, we know that there was a threat that there would be those that would be cast out of the synagogue if they profess their faith in Christ. And as individuals would ponder the cost, Jesus' word of him being the true shepherd, his commitment, his faithfulness, his investment and dedication, those truths are a buckler to those that will choose him. Support us through those times when we are counting the cost. May we all follow the light of his word as he gives us the guidance and direction how we are to walk and follow his voice. May God bless his word. Amen.